Welcome to the 1CA podcast. This is your host, Jack Gaines. 1CA is a product of the Civil Affairs Association and brings in people who are current or former military, diplomats, development officers, and field agents to discuss their experiences on ground with the partner nation's people and leadership. Our goal is to inspire anyone interested in working the last 3 feet of foreign relations. To contact the show, email us at capodcasting@gmail.com or look us up on the Civil Affairs Association website at www.civilaffairsassoc.org. I'll have those in the show notes.
So 1, 2, 3. Welcome to the 1CA podcast. I'm your host, Asad Raza, and today we have a very special guest with us, Captain Heather Cotter. Heather has a unique and inspiring story about her journey into the Civil Affairs branch, and she's here to share that with us today. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roz. It's great to be here.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. So let's dive right in. Can you start telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, professionally, for the last 20 years, I've been working alongside law enforcement and allied emergency responders, like firefighters, emergency management professionals, paramedics. And most of my career, I spent working at nonprofits that support the advancement of this idea of an integrated public safety community. And in 2020, about 3 months into the COVID-19 pandemic, I received an email about the 38 Golf Direct Commission Program, and I was immediately intrigued by this opportunity. After a couple conversations with Lieutenant Colonel Koyanga, I decided to prepare a packet for the commissioning board to consider. All my life, I've been behind the scenes supporting first responders, whether it was through research, training, policy development, or other supportive roles, but I've never been on the other side in the field, and I thought this was a great opportunity to grow as well as serve my country.
That sounds great. So welcome to the other side. So moving on to your decision of joining the Civil Affairs branch, could you explain to us what the 38 Golf does and what attracted you specifically to become a 38 Golf within the Army Reserves?
Yeah, you bet. So 38 Golf, they're also known as military government specialists. The expertise that 38 Golf brings, specifically, there are currently 18 unique skill identifiers for 38 Golf, and each 38 Golf carries at least one of them. Some of them carry multiple. For example, I carry the one skill identifier of a six hotel, which happens to be law and border enforcement. And there are, like I said, 18 total. A few others include 4 Delta, which are laws, regulations, and policies. 6 Charlie, which is finance, money, and banking. 6 Delta, which is education. And 6 Victor, which is heritage and preservation.
Man, so you said there's 18?
Yes, there are 18 of them. And every unit across the United States Army Reserve is doing their best to fill the billets with a diverse group of incoming soldiers who carry these different types of expertise.
Just out of curiosity, is it hard to recruit some of these expertise in some of these different areas?
From what I understand, some positions fill faster than others. So I think there probably was some difficulty or challenges in identifying the right people.
No, interesting. Well, I'm glad that they found you.
So Thank you.
Can you kind of explain what the process was like for you from submitting your application to taking your oath to office?
So it's a lengthy process, to be honest, receiving a direct commission. But from my understanding, this isn't unique to civil affairs either. Some of the other branches also have a lengthy direct commission process. But specific to my experience, it was pretty long. It took me about 2 years from the time I submitted my packet until I took my oath of office. And there was a lot of paperwork in between that time. So essentially, from the time I submitted my packet back in July of 2020 until my board met, there was really little communication about my status as a candidate. I focused my waiting time on learning more about civil affairs, expanding my civil affairs network by reaching out to people like you, learning about Army history, foreign policy, international relations, current events, and also improving my foreign language proficiency and improving my physical fitness. I even applied to graduate school to get a second master's degree in international affairs. So during this time, like I said, it was a waiting period, but I tried to maximize it. And when I finally did receive the letter that the board approved my commissioning appointment back in November 2020, my status changed from a 38 golf candidate to a 38 golf selectee. So once I became a selectee, and this is what other 38 golfs will go through, there will be new next steps to take, like criminal background checks, obtaining a clearance, going through medical screening, and more paperwork.
So as a 38 golf candidate, as you're waiting to go through the process, you said it took about 2 years. You got your second master's in international affairs, and you're working on foreign language proficiency. Two questions.
Yeah.
What foreign language were you trying to improve on? And second, what was your thought about getting a master's degree in international affairs and how it's associated with your personal development to be a 38 golf?
That's a great question. So when I was younger, more than 20 years ago, actually when I was in grade school, I was in a program with German and French through college. And then when I entered the workforce, I didn't really use those languages, but I still had a lot of the knowledge there deep in my brain. So while I was taking my oath of office and from when I got the approval letter, I was improving my proficiency in both German and French. And I had also reached out to my unit to ask them what language needs they had. So they were telling me Mandarin would be good to know, Tagalog would be good to know, as well as Korean. So I just started dabbling in those, but I never got too far because I don't know about you, Roz, but the way I prefer to learn is classroom study, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Having that foundational within the classroom, and I think using the apps later on as a way to maintain the languages, but having that foundational within the classroom, especially PACOM aligned languages, which are a little bit more difficult compared to European languages.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And then to your second question about the degree in international affairs. So interestingly, before I even learned about the 38 Golf Direct Commission program, I was exploring opportunities before the pandemic hit us in March of 2020. So I think it was like January. I think it must have been a New Year's resolution in 2020. I started exploring opportunities to get involved with humanitarian aid assistance and what that would require of me in order to roll up my sleeves and do humanitarian aid work. And a common theme that I saw was a degree in international affairs would be super helpful, which makes obvious sense, right? So I started realizing that this was before civil affairs became something on my radar, but I realized that a degree in IA or international affairs is something I wanted to pursue. And then, of course, when the pandemic hit, life changed for a lot of us. And then I received the email about the 38 golf program. So I started pursuing that. And when I got selected by the board, I knew even more confidently that a degree in international affairs would be incredibly helpful for me as an incoming civil affairs officer. Because the one thing that I touched on was there's a lot of downtime between when you start the process of submitting your application to when you get selected and when you take your oath of office. And for me, you know, time is something that shouldn't be wasted, and I'm going to maximize my time. And for me, the best way I could do a service to the civil affairs branch would be to expand my knowledge in international affairs. So I ended up applying to graduate school at Arizona State University, and I started my master's in August of 2022, and I graduated just a few months ago in December 2023.
Well, congratulations on that. Seems like everything kind of worked out. Everything kind of aligned itself. So once you completed all that, transitioned from being a 38 golf candidate to an actual 38 golf, and you took your oath of office, what did you do next?
So once I took my oath of office back in August of 2022, the same month I started graduate school again, because I got my first master's 20 years ago. But I took my oath of office in August of 2022, and I attended a few battle assemblies, really just to complete in processing with my unit. And then within a few months, I was at the direct commission course at Fort Moore.
So when you say battle assemblies, for our listeners that are potentially wanting to be 38 Golfs and never served in the military, what is that?
So essentially, it's inactive duty training that we do typically on a monthly basis. So it's when you get together with your unit. Basically, you're working on readiness as well as other soldiering skills, whether it's weapons qualification or something else relevant to whatever the unit's working on. But the 351 specifically, I can't speak to the other units because I'm not in them, but we meet in a hybrid model, typically quarterly in person. And then we'll do our other battle assemblies remotely. And typically, there's tons of online trainings and requirements that you have to complete on an annual basis, whether it's anti-terrorism training or cyber awareness training or any other readiness requirements is typically what we're executing. As well as if we're trying to get enrolled in the school, as well as any mission requirements or meetings that you have, whether it's before you go on a mission or post-mission after.
Interesting. Just a really quick question. Where is the 351st Civil Affairs Command located?
It's in Mountain View, California.
How far is that from where you're located?
I'm physically based in the Phoenix metro area in Arizona. So it's about an hour and a half plane ride when I do have to go in person. So I'll be at Battle Assembly next month, and I'll fly up there to San Jose, which is about a 90-minute flight, and then I'll return home.
Nice. So you get to fly up to Northern California for the weekend. Sounds like fun.
It's not the worst place to be, that's for sure. It's a great location.
Awesome. Okay, so you mentioned the direct commissioning course at Fort Moore. Can you describe that to our listeners?
Yeah, you bet. The direct commission course is developed for officers who receive a direct commission into the Army. So typically this course consists of mostly JAG officers, but you'll also see some civil affairs direct commission. You'll see direct commission into adjutant general, finance, cyber, really any branch that the Army offers the direct commission to. So soldiers or those officers will attend the direct commission course at Fort Moore. And they offer this course throughout the year, I believe on a quarterly basis, typically. And it's 6 weeks in duration. And throughout this course, you're going to learn how to wear your uniform, how to do land mass, how to do basic rifle marksmanship. You'll take the ACFT a couple times, mostly as a diagnostic, just to get you familiar with the requirements of physical fitness. And I have to say, you know, my experience at Fort Moore was overwhelmingly positive. The days were long. We had very little downtime. We were in the barracks and in uniforms, whether they were OCPs or APFUs, about 98% of the time. And we had staff duties in the middle of the night, training during the day. We ate at the DFAC every day of the week, and we're in formation at least three times a day. So it's a little bit like basic training, but it's designed for officers, and it's much shorter in length.
Nice. So you ate at DFAC three times a day, every day for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Did you get tired of the food?
You know, I stuck with the salad bar.
Okay. That's great. I wanted to ask you, I know you said there was a lot of different other branches in there, like JAG and AG, cyber. Were there any other civil affairs officers or 38 Golfs in your course?
Yeah, in my cohort, there were a few of them. There was actually another one from my unit, which was fantastic, Captain Ben Lyon. He's a 6th Delta, which is education. So it was nice to have a battle buddy there, somebody I could talk with before we got to Fort Moore, as well as during and after. And then I was also able to meet a few others that were there. Captain Heather Price was there, Major Al Cho was there. I don't want to forget anybody, but I believe it was just the four of us from civil affairs.
That's good. That's great that you got to meet some other peers within the 38 Golf and Civil Affairs branch. So once you finished the commissioning course at Fort Moore, back to your unit, the 351st. So what you've been doing since you got back to your unit?
So when I returned to the 351 back in June of last year, 2023, I had the opportunity to enroll in Women, Peace, and Security training to become a gender focal point. So I did that in June of last year. And then I was able to go out to Hawaii and support INDOPACOM with their first regional multinational women, peace, and security training. There were at least 10 different countries represented at that training. So it was a phenomenal experience, a phenomenal learning opportunity, and a way to get this opportunity to work with our nation partners. And then after that, I went back to professional military education to Bullock B, which was 12 weeks of duration at Fort Jackson.
Nice. You know, before I ask you more about your Bullock B experience, I do want to ask you one thing. Can you describe what you mean by a gender focal point?
So a gender focal point is essentially a person within the unit that is an advocate for women, peace, and security issues, a champion to help promote women, peace, and security within the unit and inspire others to become also gender focal points and receive women, peace, and security training.
Oh, that's great. I'm a little bit jealous. You've gone to Northern California, which is beautiful, and in Hawaii, with the 351st. So that's awesome. So talking about Bullock B now, as we move on, where did you attend?
I was in South Carolina at Fort Jackson, and the Bullock B that I selected was Adjutant General. It was 12 weeks.
So you get to choose which Bullock B you want to go to?
Yeah, sort of.
How'd that work?
I was like, kind of.
I mean, is there like a menu? Is there like a menu they give you guys? Like, hey, here's a list of areas you can go and you can choose one?
Yeah, essentially, that's exactly what it is. So we had a selection of 9 or 10 different bullets that we could attend. Not every bullet out there was offered, but Adjutant General was on that list and I did select that one.
Okay. So how was your experience? What was it like?
Yeah, so it was 3 months in South Carolina from August to November. The thing about Bullock B compared to Bullock A, there was a lot more downtime. If you remember the description I gave you about direct commission course, how we were in uniform about 98% of the time, and we were in formation 3 times a day, and eating at the DFAT 3 times a day, every day of the week. Life isn't like that at Bullock B. You have a lot more freedom and liberty. So we generally had our weekends free. But to the course itself, some of the graduation requirements included day and night land navigation. We had to do a 6, 9, and 12-mile ruck, basic rifle marksmanship. We had to do the ACFT for record. And there were also, I don't know, about 27 assignments and 2 or 3 written tests that we had to take. Unlike the direct commission course, which were predominantly JAG officers with a few other branches, and most of the cohort at the direct commission course were first lieutenants or captains, and I think there was 1 or 2 majors. Whereas at Bullock B, the cohort, they're primarily recent graduates from ROTC or West Point. There were a couple from OCS, Officer Candidate School, and there was 1 other civil affairs direct commission there. And similar to the direct commission course, I was among the oldest in my class.
Wow. I'm not going to say a big age difference, but there is an age difference there between recent college grads and a professional like yourself that's already had a career prior to coming into the military. Before we move on, was there any tension points or any frustrations because of the age differences within your cohort?
So I don't think there were any tension points. But it was noticeable, the generational differences. And I think a lot of that's just life experience. As you mentioned, know, I've been in the workforce for 20 years. I've had a couple of graduate degrees under my belt. And these were folks who were brand new to leadership, most of them, right? But having said that, unlike me, they also had several months, if not years, of Army-type training. So they had skills I didn't have. So I think at the end of the day, it was a good complement to one another. I think I learned from them probably more than they learned from me. And maybe because I was one of the oldest, some of them said, hey, you're my mom's age. That's awesome. You know, I remember specifically we were doing combatives. They're like, I just can't imagine my mom doing this. Like, yeah, like, I'm down for it, you know? So, but it was all well-natured, right? Nothing was insulting. I thought it was just understanding that there's going to be a generational gap and kind of being open-minded, I think, is important. Knowing that we can learn from young emerging leaders just as much as they can learn from us.
I think that's great. You brought up a good point. What time of year were you at South Carolina?
I was there in the fall. So from August to November.
Okay. So did you have an opportunity to go to Myrtle Beach?
I did not. Unfortunately, even though we had weekend free, because I am who I am, I was still in graduate school and I was completing it. So not only did I have the demands of the Bullet B course, I was also in two graduate school classes I was trying to complete and still kind of working. So my free time wasn't free, if you will.
That's understandable. All right. So, you know, this is really valuable for our listeners, specifically for those that are considering to become a 38 Golf and wanting to join the military and potentially never been in the military before. So reflecting on your 38 Golf career that you've had so far, what would you say has been the most rewarding experience?
I'm still very new, right, into civil affairs and into the Army and a new commissioned officer as a 38 Golf. But to date, I would say the most rewarding experience I've had in civil affairs has to be my recent mission to the Marshall Islands. I was with a team of experts to provide combating trafficking and persons training to different criminal justice constituents and stakeholders like prosecutors, judges, cops, and victim services professionals in the Marshall Islands. My area of focus for this training centered on victim services, like how to identify trafficking victims, the types of victims that might be trafficked, whether it's through forced labor, domestic servitude, or other type of trafficking. And while CTIP, combating trafficking in persons, is a topic that's a little dark, some of the conversations we had, while they were tough to have, it was a rewarding experience because I'm hopeful that the knowledge that we share with the Marshallese and the knowledge shared between them during this event may help a survivor of trafficking.
That's truly inspiring. That's a really important and sensitive topic. You know, specifically have to talk with people from a foreign land, potentially it might be a little bit more sensitive for them too. So no, thank you. So looking ahead, so what are some of your goals or aspirations within the civil affairs branch?
One of my immediate goals is to continue professional military education, the captain's career course. So I've completed the direct commission course, Bullet A, I've completed Bullet B, which you're required to do within the first 2 years of receiving a commission. And the next item for me to complete, or the next PME for me to complete, is the captain's career course at Fort Liberty. I'm also looking after that, or hopefully maybe even before that, to get some continued education and training in women, peace, and security. And then longer term, really what matters most to me is being able to provide value to the civil affairs branch. What that looks like may vary over time, but I will do all I can just to be useful and relevant to the branch and to my unit.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure you're going to provide value to the civil affairs branch in whatever you do. Before we move on, just really quick questions for our listeners. The Captain Career Course at Fort Liberty, what's the time frame for that?
Yeah, so it's my understanding it's about 4 weeks in duration for reservists to attend. And they cut it across, I believe, three different phases. Don't quote me on those time frames, but it is about 4 weeks in duration.
Okay, 4 weeks, not too bad. It seems like it takes up a lot of time to get all these PME classes that you need to be branch qualified.
You're absolutely right on that. And a lot of it depends what bullet you go to as well. That is a factor in any person's decision. Is do I want to attend a 9-week bullock, a 19-week bullock, or a 12-week bullock? Really comes down to the individual officer, which one they attend. But you're right. I attended 18 weeks of PME last year and another 4 weeks, hopefully, this year. But honestly, 22 weeks of Army training for everything that you need to know really isn't that much, at least in my perspective, because to me, training and education is ongoing and it should almost be daily. So yeah, you do have to be away for extended periods of time. But one, it's absolutely necessary. Two, it's really rewarding. And you're going to find that everything you learn is going to stay with you. But unless if you're using those skill sets on a regular basis, you're also going to lose some of them, which is why I think training and education is something that just needs to be the regular occurrence.
That makes sense, right? You want to stay up within your profession, like you do in your civilian side. You want the same thing in the military side to be able to provide that value, like you said. All right, Heather, so before we wrap up, do you have any advice for our listeners who may be interested in joining the military or civil affairs branch, specifically like the 38 Gulf career field? Also, do you have any recommended readings or books that could better prepare them for this journey?
For me, joining the Army Reserve has been a transformative experience. I would love to see more people join, whether it's civil affairs or another branch. And there are two pieces of advice I can offer. First is to make sure you talk with your families and loved ones prior to taking the first step of applying. Their support is vital, especially when you become a service member. And second, you have to embrace the experience. Your mindset really matters, and it will be a factor in all aspects of your success. There are going to be times when you don't want to do something that they ask you to do, like stand in a field when it's pouring rain, you know, waiting for tents, right? But that's just what you have to do. And I think having a good mindset and a good attitude will make all the difference in your success. And moving on to your second question about the recommended readings, right now I have two. The first book, I would recommend this for anyone interested in women, peace, and security. The title is Invisible Women, Data Bias in a World Designed for Men by Caroline Perez. And the second book is by Graham Allison, and that's Destined for War, Can America and China Escape the Thucydides Trap?
I might have to get both of those books. You know, there's nothing wrong with standing in the rain and waiting around for a tent to go up. I think that just makes the experience a lot more worthwhile. All right. So Heather, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the 1CA podcast. I really was really inspired by your journey, and I'm sure it's an inspiration to many of our listeners that are thinking about wanting to join the 38 Golf career field.
Thank you, Roz. It was my pleasure to be here and share my experiences. I hope these lessons learned can inspire or help someone on their own path.
Thank you. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to join us next time for another episode of the 1CA podcast. Until then, take care and keep pushing forward.
Thanks for listening. If you get a chance, please like and subscribe and rate the show on your favorite podcast platform. Also, if you're interested in coming on the show or hosting an episode, email us at capodcasting@gmail.com. I'll have the email and CA Association website in the show notes. And now, most importantly, to those currently out in the field, working with a partner nation's people or leadership to forward U.S. relations, thank you all for what you're doing. This is Jack, your host. Stay tuned for more great episodes, 1CA Podcast.